For the heat. I know it's winter warm up. It's kind of like the opposite right now. So that's why we're standing this morning. See, we're going to get the blood moving a little bit. Amen. How did everybody sleep last night? Everybody good? Anybody stay awake all night? Was there anyone? Yeah, we got a couple. I figured that. Hey. Had a great service last night. Great time of fellowship. I hope you have enjoyed yourself. But we're not done yet. We're here for this morning's service, and we just want to ask God this morning to do great and mighty things. Last year, we had just an amazing time in the Lord on Saturday morning, and God helped our youth group and helped Sister Sarah and I, and we're expecting God to do the same this year. And so let's not throw out this service as just the last thing we have to do before we leave, but let's get in. All right, and why don't we just do this? Why don't we open this service up with prayer this morning? Let's ask God to come by and touch us. Amen. All over the house, let's just bow our heads this morning and ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and your mercy. Thank you for your touch that we felt last night. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you spoke to our hearts. God, for the direction and the leading of your Spirit, Lord, we thank you. God, this morning we're so grateful for the opportunity to come into this house and to worship your name, Jesus. Father, we pray that your will would be done this morning. God, we pray that you would have your way, God, and this service. Lord, I pray you would touch every heart that's here, every individual, God. You know exactly what we need this morning. And Father, we want to receive from your word, God, and grow in your spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You've got a hymnal right in front of you, a red book. Why don't you grab that and turn to page 130. We're going to sing one of my favorite songs this morning. Before we get there, I am so glad to have the OBI Outreach crew here. Why don't we give them a hand this morning? I am so glad they're here. Amen. This isn't all of them, right? Some of them are still in bed. That's all right. Hey, you're working hard, so we'll give them a break. Amen. But there, a couple of them are going to sing here in a little bit, and so we just want to say we're so glad to have you here and appreciate all of our young people that stayed last night. Amen. We're growing every year, and so Lord willing, next year we'll have two or three sections filled. Amen. Page 130, I never shall forget the day. Long years ago, went out in sin. I had no hope, no peace within. But down on my knees, in agony, I prayed to Jesus and He gladly set me free. And I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It makes me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything. Let's take out a piece. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It makes me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything to me. Now I can feel Him by my side. My feeble steps, He comes to guide. When trials come, He comforts me. Through faith in Him over sin, I have the victory. And I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It makes me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything to me. Verse 3. O sinner, come to Jesus now. At His dear feet, just humbly bow. Confess to Him your every sin. He'll save and cleanse you, give you peace and joy within. Well, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It makes me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything to me. Oh, and I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It makes me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything. Let's sing that chorus again. Well, I never shall forget the day. Think about it this morning. When all the burdens of my soul are rolled away, it makes me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for He's everything to me. Why don't we lift our hands and just worship the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for the blood, Lord. Thank you that you saved me, God. You took away my sin. Lord, you set me free, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. That's the wrong tempo. Help me out with the breath. There we go. We shall see the King when He comes. Thank you.
Oh, we shall see the King, oh glory, we shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He is coming in power, oh hail, blessed hour. We shall see the King.
Let's do verse 1 again.
There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. It's the wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when He comes. And we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Are you ready should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure. The vow can never stay. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He is coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call? To crown your Savior, King and Lord of all. The kingdoms of this world shall soon before Him fall. We shall see the King when He comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes.
It's coming soon.
He is coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes.
Let's sing that chorus again.
We shall see the King. We shall see the King.
Hallelujah.
We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes.
Hallelujah. Lord, we're thankful for that day. God, we're looking for Your coming, Lord. Hallelujah. God, I want to be ready for Your coming. I want to hear You say, well done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Amen. I need all of the guys, actually, that stayed in the Brock building. Guys that stayed in the Brock building. I want all of you to stand up. Every guy that stayed in the Brock building last night. Every guy. That's everyone, basically, but Iowa. That'll be easier. There you go. When we're done with service, we're going to go directly back to that building, and we're going to clean like madmen, okay? Because it's bad. It's real bad. So we're going to, when we're done, we're going to go back there, okay? So let's not hang out here. And when we're done, let's just head back there real fast. We'll get it cleaned up really quickly, and then you can do whatever you want because you're dismissed from there. So, amen. Again, so glad to have the outreach group here. And Brother Josh, why don't you come and greet everyone and whoever's going to help you this morning. Sister Amanda, good to be back in Ohio. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Glad to be here. I was thinking, they already said it about it's a winter warm-up, and it's awfully cold to be warming up. And this is our spring break. It don't look like spring at all outside right now. So this is a joke for us. But we've been on the road. This is, I don't know what day this is, probably day 9 out of 11 that we're going to be on the road traveling for the Ozark Bible Institute.
There we go. That works a little better. Most of you are familiar with OBI. If you have any questions, we'd be glad to help you with that. But right now we're here to worship God with you. And it sounds like you had a good time with the Lord last night. And you know, the Lord's always ready to give more and more. But the thing is, are we ready to accept Him and to let Him do a work in us? So that's our prayer, and I pray it's yours as well, that the Lord will move in our lives. We're glad to be here. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate the Lord and His blessings and everything He's done for us. And I'm looking for Him to help us this morning.
I'll tell you, I don't like just going to church and just sitting there just because that's where I need to be or where I have to be, but I want to get something from the Lord this morning. How about you? Praise the Lord. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, the first words of the verse says, Peter therefore was kept in prison. You know, there's some young people that are in prison, but not only that, I mean, just in your life, if you're in prison, it brings a situation that really can be hurtful. It's a situation that you don't desire. You don't want to be in prison. And it's a situation that can bring discouragement. If you're in prison, it can bring discouragement. It's something you don't want. But another thing, it's out of your control. You know, when you're in prison, you can't do much about it. And but this next part of this verse, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. And I'm glad when we're in discouragement and when things are out of our control, we can pray. Praise the Lord. When there's nothing else to do, we turn on all sides and we don't know where to go. Amen. We can pray. And I'm glad that no matter what you're facing this morning, you might be in prison. Something might be heavy upon your heart. But I want to tell you what you can do this morning. You can pray. You can call out God and He can help you this morning. Praise the Lord. Just worship the Lord with us.
You say I'm not able, I'm too young or I'm too old. I can't sing or teach, and no title do I hold. Lord, what can I do? For I want to do my part, and I want to help the hurting with all of my heart. But I can pray until the walls come down, till there's healing all around. That's something I can do. I can pray in my secret place, calling on your name. That's something I can do. I can something I can do. I can pray in my secret place, calling on your name. That's something I can do. I can pray. Oh, my family shows no interest. My child has gone so far. Though I try my best to reach them, their hearts just seem so hard. Lord, what can I do? Oh, that will bring them back to you. For my family's lost and dying, and my words do not get through. But I can pray until the walls come down, till there's healing all around. That's something I can do. I can pray in my secret place, calling on your name. That's something I can do. I can pray. My family shows no interest. My child has gone so far. Though I try my best to reach them, their hearts just seem so hard. Lord, what can I do that'll bring them back to you? For my family's lost and dying, and my words do not get through. But I can pray until the walls come down, till there's healing all around. That's something I can do. That's something I can do. I can pray in my secret place, calling on your name. That's something I can do. pray in my secret place, calling on your name. That's something I can do. I can pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. You can be seated this morning. Wanted to just make mention of this really quick. Sister Crystal, we wanted to say happy birthday to you tomorrow. It's her birthday, and she is driven all this way with her husband, and we ought to give her a hand clap for her birthday tomorrow. Amen. I so appreciate Brother David and Sister Crystal driving, amen, 9 or 10 hours, is that correct? Amen. We really appreciate them. And they're going to be leaving here after service, so we're going to pray for them for safety. But we just want to say happy birthday tomorrow for you. Amen. Brother Snow, would you come? We want to turn the service over to you right now. Amen. Young people, let's get in. Amen. Let's open our hearts and receive the word today. Amen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
A little more operatic. Happy birthday, dear Crystal. You didn't roll your R's. Happy birthday to you.
There we go. Happy birthday. I tell you what, I appreciate Brother David and Sister Crystal bringing the young people, and I appreciate our young people coming. What a distance to come for just a service last night and a service this morning. So all of the young people from Heritage, let's get something from God before we leave this morning. I know God touched some of you last night. There were some of you from our youth group that was just weeping and just shaking in the presence of God as you let the Lord move in your heart, many of you as well. This morning, let's do the same thing. Let's get in and let God move in our lives in a special way. Amen? Praise God. It's so good to see everyone. I see these guys from OBI. I've got to tell an OBI story. Is that all right? Is that okay, everybody? Because some of you are sleepy. This might wake you up a little bit. We had a ministry team. I was traveling very similar to this. We were in, of all places, we were in Iowa. And we had a guy in our group. His name was Sammy Singleton. And Sammy, when he first got in the group, man, I tell you what, we had to work with him a little bit because Sammy was, he was so serious and he was so shy. And he talked real low like this, and he's from Alabama. And I remember we'd have him testify for the song that we sung, I got joy, joy, joy when I think about the Lord. And Sammy, before we would sing that, Sammy would go, he'd go, I just want to thank the Lord for giving me so much joy. And if you want joy like I got, you come to the altar and Jesus will give you the joy. And he had to get out of that shyness. Well, he had this young lady that he was kind of interested in. And we were traveling to Iowa, and there was we had to make a new rule because we had several that were couples that were just, I mean, you know, as soon as their girlfriend would walk in the church service, they'd be going, I come over here, baby, mommy. And she would,
isn't he so handsome? I want to sit by him.
And, oh, it was horrible. And so we had to make a new rule so that they'd be focused on the service, that they couldn't act like boyfriend or girlfriend. You got to get that so you understand this story. Well, Sammy found these little roses in this store in Iowa with all these rednecks all around us. And I can talk about rednecks because I are one. And I mean, these guys are standing all big old Iowa farmers. And I don't know if you've seen a lot of folks from Iowa, but most of the folks from Iowa are bigger people. I mean, they come from kind of a German background, big people, all these big guys standing there talking about their tractors. Yeah, I got one of them big old Daces running up. You know, talking around. And Sammy's standing over there with his rose, and he looked over at me and he said, Hey, too bad we can't act like a couple.
And he was pointing it at me with these all these big old guys around. And I'm telling you, I have never been so tempted in all my life to look over there at him and go, Sammy. But I didn't do it. After we got outside, I said, what's your problem, man? You could have got us killed in there. They'd have thought we was from San Francisco or something. But Sammy is a man's man, and he ended up being able to give a rose away to the one that he loved and has a real good family, real good relationship. OBI is a good place to find a wife. It really is. I found my wife there. I was from Arkansas. She was from Indiana. And the moment that I seen her, I knew something was happening. I went to the dorm and actually asked God to forgive me. Because she was so beautiful, I just knew she had to be engaged or married. And some of the girls there don't wear wedding rings. Some of them do. So I thought maybe she was married and just didn't have a wedding ring on. And I thought, man, I just talked to her and something was happening. And I said, Lord, please forgive me. I got to find out if this person's married because I'm not going to talk to her no more. And so I found out she wasn't married. See? See? Muy bueno. Yeah. And so I seen her. None of y'all have ever heard this story, especially from my church. But I seen her walking across the grounds there in Missouri, and it was hot and humid. She reached back and grabbed a hold of her hair and flipped it up in the air. The wind caught it. Was flowing in the wind. And as I seen it flowing in the wind, I could hear, James, James. And I literally did flips. I was a lot skinnier then. And I literally did flips, and I'm still flipped for my wife. I love her with all my heart. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 9. Thank you so much, Brother Hurst, for giving us the opportunity, and Brother Brian thinking of us to come and minister here. I appreciate it so much. Had a good time in the Lord last night, and just can't wait to see what God's going to do. I want to encourage you. Look at your neighbor and tell them, wake up. You know, we go through the motions, and I've noticed this happening more and more. We have a meeting, we plan, we prepare, we pray, and then we just try to get everything done. And I appreciate the way that Brother Brian has expressed, that's not the heart of this meeting. We want God to move. And our group from Iowa has got the longest distance to go today to travel, but I don't feel sorry for them. Because there's been a lot of times I preached and we had church till midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, and I had to drive 6 hours to get to the next place to preach, and I may have slept an hour, got up and started another revival. So you're not going to have any tears shed from me. But I know God wants to do something, and this is our heartbeat. You can sleep next week. This is our heartbeat, is to have a move of God, a genuine outpouring of the Spirit. Some of the greatest services I've been in have been morning services when I hadn't been a whole lot of sleep the night before, but there were people that were focused and were ready to see God move in their lives in a glorious way, and that's my heart. Amen. I want them to get in that van headed back to Iowa and have the Holy Ghost still moving in the van. I want the group from Kentucky to have the Spirit of God moving as they head back to Kentucky, and those that are going to different places, as the Spirit of God just continues to stir your heart, move in your life in a glorious way. Amen. The Scripture said, let's stand here for a moment. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe that everyone I'm talking to this morning is born again. If you've been born again, wave your hand. I thought I was right. Amen. you have had an experience with God. The Lord has been speaking to me. I went away for a time to seek the face of God for this year. And in my church, I've been preaching this message over and over again to come out. It's time for God's people to come out of this mess, to come out of this world. I'm telling you, the ultimate coming out party is about to take place when Jesus calls us out of this world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at somebody who's standing close to you and say, you mean something to God. And you can be seated. You can be seated this morning. Amen. We've been called out of this world. The scripture said that we are a peculiar people. That doesn't mean we're idiots. That doesn't mean we're nerds. That means that we are specifically different from the rest of this world. We're not a part of the world system. We're not a part of the world's mindset. We don't go to the same places. We don't act the same way. We don't speak the same way. We don't allow our minds. Did you hear what I said? We don't allow our minds to think the same way. Why? Because we are peculiar. We are special to God. Amen. There's several things I want you to notice about this. Amen. That we're going to look at today. That we have a position. We have a position in this generation that we're in. Our position is that we have become children of God. We have become different from this world system. Amen. I remember as a young man, I got home early from school and I got my chores done. And it was one of those cold fall days and I flipped on the television. And when I flipped it on, it was on Donahue. Now, some of you probably never even heard of Donahue. That's a long time ago. But I flipped on Donahue and there was this guy. He was a plumber. He weighed about 350 pounds, maybe 400. And he was talking about how he was finally coming out of the closet. And he liked to wear gowns. And his boyfriend was a plumber that weighed about 300 pounds, a little bit less than he did. And they grabbed each other and kissed. And I thought to myself, and I turned it off, and I thought to myself at that moment, man, stay in the closet, please. You know, I mean, that's, I don't need that. But as far as the church of God, it's time for us to have a coming out party. It's time for us to say that filthy mess is what the world does, but we do something different. We live different. We belong to somebody. We have a position. We are somebody in God. He's called us out of this filthy, sinful world to be different, to be separate, to have a position with God Almighty. And I remember this young man, he came to camp, and the day that he walked on the campgrounds, he was doing like this. Sister Crystal, you may remember this young man, Tim. He walked on the campgrounds, and I'm telling you, he had an attitude that just stunk. I mean, his attitude was horrible. For the first couple of days, I would preach, and he'd sit back there and just... He'd look at me the whole time I was preaching. He's mad at God. He's mad at people around him. But then the Holy Ghost got a hold of him. And I remember when Tim came down to that altar, he could barely get down and kneel. But he got down on his knees and began to pray and call out to God. And God gloriously saved that young man. The Holy Ghost just fell on him immediately because he was so hungry for love. And he needed acceptance. And we were getting ready to go home. And we were having a service. And I leaned down beside him and prayed with him. And he's just crying. He looked up at me and he spoke with a little bit of a little bit of handicap. And he said, Brother Snow, he said, I don't want to go home. I said, why don't you want to go home, Tim? He said, my dad left my mother when I was born because he said I was retarded. He said, every year for my birthday, since I've been old enough to remember, my dad calls and says, hey, happy birthday, son. I just wanted to remind you. The reason I left your mother is because you're an idiot. You're retarded. You're stupid and you embarrass me. He said, Brother Snow, he hasn't failed one year to call and tell me that I'm retarded. And that's why that he left my mother. This little boy. I mean, he was 16 years old. But here he is just weeping and broken. And he said, Brother Snow, I finally found people
who accept me for who I am. He said, nobody looks at me funny when I walk and drag this part of my body. And he said, nobody makes fun of me. He said, everybody has been around me with their hands on my shoulder, crying and weeping and praying for me to get filled with the Holy Ghost and for God to put a calling on my life. And he said, I don't want to leave this place. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. There are no big I's or little U's. I heard about a school system that here several years back where they had a class, an illustration, and they had everyone gather up in groups. They separated the class into groups, and they said, listen, we want you to pick out two people out of your group who is going to have to be placed off of the lifeboat. You're in a lifeboat at sea. Pick out two that have to be put off. One of the girls, because she didn't fix her hair the same way, she didn't dress the same way, because they didn't consider her to be attractive. Let me tell you something, young ladies. God created you. And you are beautiful to God. And someday there's going to be some guy, even though he may be a little slightly brain damaged, he's going to see you. And he is going to say, he's going to lose his marbles. He's going to think you're the most beautiful thing that ever hit this world. But they put this young lady off of their lifeboat. She sat over in the corner for the rest of the class. And other young people that were rejected, that girl went home and ended her life. Let me tell you, that's what the world is doing to people. But I want you to look around. Turn around. Look around. Look beside you. I'm serious. Turn around. Move around a little bit. Look around at everybody that's in this room right here today. Amen. I believe that everybody waved a hand at me and said, you've been born again. Listen, you're somebody. You belong to God. You have a position with God. You belong to Him. You're His child. I don't know about you, but that thrills my heart to know this morning that I'm a child of God. Amen. We either believe this or we don't. Listen, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. If you've asked Him to forgive you, you've been forgiven. If you've asked Him to wash you in His blood, He's washed you in His blood. You belong to Him this morning. Oh, let me tell you something. Now as you walk in the light, God's going to begin to reveal things to you. As you continue to just grow and develop and become more like Him, though the outward man will perish. In other words, your body's going to get old. The inner man is renewed day by day. You're growing up in God's family. Let Him keep working on you. You belong to God. You have a position in this family. It's broken my heart to see the way that young people are treated in some churches. I don't let young people in my church tell girls that they're fat or they're ugly or that they don't look good or that they got a big nose. Amen. Even though it may be true. Listen, there's no reason to run each other down. There's no reason to hurt each other. We belong to God. We're His children. And it's so important that young people, that you understand you have a position with God. Where's my daughter Christian and daughter Sarah? Come up here real quick. Come here. They're beautiful. They're single. But they are not available. Some of you kind of giggled. I mean that. Go ahead. Try me, Pilgrim. I've got a 357 that I can get out of the leather before you can get to your car. Hey, it's my baby, 12 years old. I hope that's not embarrassing you too much, but I love you, Sarah. She belongs to me. It's my daughter. Sarah, have you ever made a mistake since you've been in our family? You have? Once or twice? Maybe once or twice. I don't know if you noticed or not, but she's beautiful. And this is my 15-year-old tiny midget daughter. Sarah's 12, though. She's catching up with her. Christian, have you? Christian's not made any mistakes, though, has she really? Have you? Yeah, you have. Okay, she does have a problem with honesty there, apparently. No, I'm teasing. It's my daughter. Have I ever kicked you guys out when you messed up or made a mistake? Have I told you that I was ashamed of you and I didn't want you to be my child? How come we can't get in our heads that God feels so much greater than that about us?
Amen. You guys can go sit down. You know, we have this thing in holiness. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm holiness to the bones. I believe in this life. I believe in this life. But we have this thing to where every time we mess up, we feel like God is just sitting there in heaven with a big stick going, "Oh yeah, finally got her now. Boom." Every time we do something that we should, "Oh yeah, finally I'm going to kill him." Boom. How can we think that way about God? He gave His only Son to be beaten and stripped down in front of the world. The bone and the flesh torn. And the internal organs revealed that the whipping was so severe on Him. How can we not be convinced God loves us? Jesus was willing to go into the depths of the earth, friend, so that you could have eternal life. I'm telling you this morning, you've got a position in God. If it ever hit our generation who we are in God, we'd turn this world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Young person, if it ever got a hold of you, that you are God's child and that He will not give you away lightly. He's going to hold on to you. He's going to love you. He's going to be patient with you. He's going to touch your heart when you mess up. Here's where our problem is. When the Spirit of God deals with us, many times we get upset and we just say, "Well, I'm going to quit trying to serve God." This is the progression. Youth camp's over with, and here we are. 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, a month and a half. Raise your hands and worship the Lord. Because we feel so beat down. We don't feel like God's going to love us because we messed up. Let me tell you something. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus daily cleanses us from all sin. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. When God puts His hand on your heart and convicts you something, young lady, young man, when God puts His finger on your heart and says, "Don't do that no more," God's not saying, "I hate you, I'm done with you." You know what God's saying? He's saying, "Listen, I love you, you're my child, you've got to change this. If you want to continue to grow in me, you've got to change this. You're in danger. If you keep going this way, you will separate yourself from me. It's not me making this choice, you're making the choice." Oh, it's the Spirit of God deals with you. Listen, I delight when the Holy Ghost speaks something into my heart because I know I'm His child. He's still dealing with me. B.H. Clendenin said when he got saved, he went back out on the job. He rough worked on the oil rigs. And this guy got to carrying on one of the oil rigs and made him mad. And he went down there and he kicked him. Boom! Got mad at him, told him to get back to work. Shut up and leave him alone. The guy turned around when he kicked him. He said, "Oh, Bert, I thought you got saved." Brother Clendenin went back up in his office. He walked around and he said, "Oh, my God, I thought I got saved. That's the way I used to act. And here I am doing the same thing that I used to do. I must not have got saved." And then it all of a sudden it dawned on him. He said, "Hey, devil, I never felt bad for kicking anybody before. I must have got saved." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, let me tell you something. God is working on you. He's dealing with you. He's drawing you closer to Him. You have a position with God. And just like your parents have to give you the board of education when you're younger, you know, and help you to learn how to use your mind and learn how to function in society. I mean, just the way your parents do. It's the same way with God. He disciplines you with love. He's leading. He's directing. Because you have a position in God. He cares about you. He loves you. One Sunday morning, I looked out in the congregation and I seen a young lady. She was sitting up on the front. Tears were running down her face. For years, her grandpa had been praying for her. He found out that his son had had a child that his son didn't even know about for years, and finally
had found out that he had a daughter from an affair that he had had years ago. He was a hippie and lived in the parks. And this young girl was out there somewhere, and his grandpa had been praying for her. He thought she could be in Maine or New York. And there she was, sitting three pews ahead of him for over a year, and he didn't even realize it was her. But I remember as the Spirit of God is moving, and Shiloh, the tears began to run down her face. That girl who had never known her dad, mother was a drug addict, hated everything to do with God. Shiloh got up from where she was at and came down, knelt down at that altar, and God gloriously saved her. This man in the church, he started inquiring and talking to her about her what her history was, him and his wife, and they were just wanting to, you know, to reach out to her because she had just got saved. And when she told them where she was from and told them her name, and they said, "Wait, that's the name that we were given." And they did some research, and then Shiloh began to come into their family and come into their house, and she had a grandpa now and had a man in her life that was godly and treated her the way that a man should treat a young lady. I mean, the story was just amazing, and I had to go through it too quick there to be able to tell all the details. But I remember one night, it was a Sunday night, Shiloh come to the front of the church, and she put her hands up like this, and she said, "Oh, Jesus, I love you, Jesus." And then all of a sudden she went, "Oh, Jesus," and then immediately began to speak in another tongue, and she stopped. And went, we said, "That's okay. That's the Spirit of God." She threw those hands back up, continued to speak in tongues. When the service was over, she stood up and testified. She said, "I'd heard about the Holy Ghost, but I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. But tonight, I was speaking in tongue." Hallelujah. She said, "All I know, amen, is that I was speaking in tongue. Oh, God was working in her life." I remember sitting and talking with her time after time and dealing with her, this young woman who'd never known love, never known respect, never known acceptance. As she sat there in my office weeping and crying, saying, "I belong to a family now." Yeah. She was talking about the family of God. Right here in this room, listen, you have a position with God. Not only that, but we have a purpose. Listen, the scripture said that we should show forth the praises of Him. It's called us out of darkness to His marvelous light. We've got a purpose in this life. Amen. Somebody come to the music if you would. I got a lot more I want to say, but I need to quit. I feel like we need to pray. You know, I've used this illustration, and many of you have heard me use it, but it's so true. The Jews, during the Holocaust, would be used to take a pile of rocks from one place on the grounds to another. Couple of days would pass, they'd go get those same rocks and bring them back and put it in that same place. It was purposeless. Had no purpose. The Germans knew that if they could get their minds to thinking that they had no purpose in this world, that they would become useless and nothing. Let me tell you something. The devil's trying the same trick today. My dad worked with a man in Jacksonville, Arkansas, whose son sat in front of his TV so long playing the games. Every once in a while, get a chip or an Oreo. I'm going to be the greatest champion in the world. That his shoulders separated. And they had to do surgery. If I didn't know the man, I would have thought that was a baloney story. But his shoulders. Because the kid had no purpose in this life, he thought. They had to do surgery and bring those shoulders back together where he could walk around like a normal person. Hey, how you doing? Listen, you got a purpose. Does your church have any kind of ministry? I know our church, Brother David and I pastor in Alaska. Iowa, Alaska, same difference. So our bus ministry has to shut down because
we'd end up getting sued and we wouldn't have a church. But on April 17th, we kick off our bus ministry for the year. And Sarah Bradley, there's kids in our city who are going to find Jesus. We're going to introduce them to Jesus Christ. I remember the last game I ever played in high school. I played down low, and so I didn't get to shoot the ball outside a whole lot. I scored 30 points in that game. I missed one shot. It was a free throw. Man, I thought, that's pretty awesome. I could care less about that. I really could. Let me tell you what has thrilled me through the years more than anything else. I've been times where I've made $150 an hour doing jobs. Nothing compares to putting my arm around somebody that I've led to Jesus and praying with them as the tears, those hot tears, begin to run down their cheeks and drop on an altar. Watching them as the years pass, as they get full of the Holy Ghost, get a calling on their life to do something for God, whether it's Sunday school or preach. Get a call on their life to do something for God. Before I was born, a witch, unsolicited by my mother, came to my mother and said, I've been reading the cards. And that baby in your womb is going to die. The devil was saying he was going to kill me. My mom grit her teeth and looked at that witch, looked her right in the eyes, and said, you go back and tell whatever demon told you that, that the devil cannot cross the bloodline. From the time I was 5 years old, I knew there was nothing I could ever be except for old-fashioned Pentecost. At 5 years old, I preached my first sermon in the backyard with all the neighbor kids. I said, the Bible said to spank the child. And I seen my congregation was getting upset with me. So I said, well, when they do something real bad. And I moved on, 3 points, a poem, gave the altar call. What I'm trying to say is I knew there was a reason I was in this world. I've got a purpose. There's people that are waiting on you to step into that place that God has called you to. There's people waiting right now. Christian, when she was 4 years old, came to me in East Alton, Illinois. She came to me. She said, Daddy, tonight while you was preaching, Jesus spoke to me and said, I'm going to be a missionary in Africa and tell the children about Jesus. I don't ever want it to seem like I'm bragging on my kids. I'm not. I'm using that as an illustration. She talks about it daily. I can't wait to see what God's going to do with you if the Lord tarries. But she's not going to wait till then. Christian is actively involved, given to missions. She's already built one church in Africa where people can hear about Jesus Christ. Amen. There's something bigger than you. There's something bigger than these four walls. There's a purpose. There's people that need to know about Jesus Christ. My little boy Zeke, 5 or 6 years old, I can't remember, walked up and put his hands toward a man who had been born deaf. And immediately, God healed that man who'd been born deaf. Amen. Zeke gets up in the morning, gets his Bible out, reads his Bible, prays, does all of his chores, gets busy with his schoolwork. He's motivated at 11 years old because he realizes he's in this planet for something bigger than Zeke. It's all about Jesus Christ. You've got a purpose to show forth the praises of Him that's called you out of darkness to this marvelous light. Does anybody in this room this morning believe you've got a position with God? Raise your hand. Does anybody in this room believe you've got a purpose in this world? Raise the other hand and stand to your feet if you would. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've only known my sister for a few months. Amen. Watching God work in your life. There's people you're going to touch in your school. There's people you're going to touch in our city that nobody else will ever be able to touch. Amen. You got a purpose. You believe that, don't you? You know that. Amen. There's a reason you're in this world. There's a reason you're here. Amen. You've got a purpose in this world. God wants to use you. Amen. It's greater than anything that the world can produce. There's nothing, there's no joy, there's no high that you'll ever get in this world. Nothing that'll ever compare to doing something for Jesus Christ. Let me give you a little hint. The people you're going to win don't look like you. They don't smell like you. They don't act like you. The first person, one of the first people that I ever led to Christ, I'd led about 30 or 40 people to Christ, and this young man was one of the first ones that just individually I just went to and just worked on and worked on. He lived in a car with his mom and dad. He smelled horrible. His teeth come out and went. They just went different directions. Everybody called him Bucky because his teeth went two different directions. They laughed and made fun of him. But that young man knelt at an altar and wept as Jesus Christ let him know he was born for a reason. Hallelujah. Watched as that young man begin to grow and develop and tell other people about what God had done in his life. Let me tell you something. They may not look and act the same way, but you're going to be thrilled to watch them come to Christ and grow in a relationship with the Lord. You know what? This is the thing that thrills me. I've preached on this since God saved me and called me into the ministry. I preach that we need to be soul winners. I believe it and I live it. Will you lift your hands all across this room right now and say, God, I've got a position. I'm a part of that chosen generation. I'm a part of the royal priesthood, that holy nation. I am a part of those peculiar people. I'm separate from this world system. I've been called to come out. God has said that He will be a God to me. Ah, oh, hallelujah. He promised me that if I'd come out, He'd be my God. Hallelujah. That I would be His son. Shandala basiki, andala basata. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room this morning. How many of you here this morning right now will say, Brother Snow, there's times where I just do not feel like I've had a position, but this morning I want to come in faith and say I know that I belong to God. We're going to ask the young ladies to come on this side and the young men on this side. Young men, will you come with your hands raised and say I have a position with God? Young ladies, will you come this morning with your hands raised saying I have a position with God? I am His child. Young men, will you come this morning saying I have a purpose and I want God to show me exactly what my purpose is? Come if you would. Young men on this side, young ladies on this side, raise your hands as you come. Begin to call out to Him. Begin to praise Him. Let's not kneel down this morning. I want you to come and stand. Amen. Raise your hand. There's some of you that are too tired. You kneel down, you may go to sleep. So stand to your feet. Raise your hands. Open your mouth and begin to call out to God right there. Let everybody around you hear you saying, God, I belong to You. I'm Your son. I'm Your daughter. Lord, I realize this morning You love me, just like Brother Snow brought his children up on the platform, put His arms around them. God, You want to put Your arms around me this morning. You want to love me this morning. Oh, God, You want to show me what my purpose in this world is. There's people that need Jesus. There's people that need Christ. I've got a purpose. God, You want me to go deeper in You. You want me to get full of the Holy Ghost. You want me to get sanctified. You want me to live a life that's separate from this world. You want me, God, to be different. God, You want me to be different. Oh, God, there's a purpose for my life. Oh, God wants to hear You say that.
Somebody around you needs to hear you say that. Open your mouth and tell Him. God, I have a purpose. God, I have a purpose. Is there a young person that will shout it this morning? God, I have a purpose in this world. Lead me. Use me. Make me a soul winner. Hallelujah.
Lord, remind me of my calling so that I never run from the call. Remind me, Lord, you called me, though sometimes I may get weary. But if one soul be saved, it's worth it all. When I see the teardrops falling, remind me of my calling. May I never run from the call. When I was just a child, I knew all the while there was a work that God had called me to do.
Oh, this is your golden opportunity this morning.
Now I can't count the miles.
You're in God's presence.
Sometimes I get tired.
Let Him do
but
that
after
work
all
in your
you've
right
done,
now.
It's the least that I can do. So remind me, Lord, you called me. Though sometimes I may get weary, but if one soul be saved, it's worth it all. When I see the teardrops falling, remind me of my calling, and may I never run from the call. Oh Lord, remind me, Lord, you called me, though sometimes I may be weary. But if one soul is saved, it's worth it all. When I see the teardrops falling, remind me of my calling. May I never run from the call. My name may never be in bright lights marquee. The world may not applaud the things I do. Oh, but if I can be a light to some soul in the night, then Lord, that's all that I desire to do. But remind me, Lord, you called me, though sometimes I may get weary. But if one soul be saved, it's worth it all. When I see the teardrops falling, remind me of my calling. May I never run from the call. Oh Lord, remind me, Lord, you called me, though at times I get so weary. But if one soul be saved, it's worth it all. When I see the teardrops falling, remind me of my calling. May I never run from the
call.
Come
on, young people. Come on, young people. Raise your hands and worship Him. Raise your hands and seek His face. Hallelujah. You're going to need everything you get. You're going to need everything you get this morning to face the challenges that are coming your way. We need our generation to have Pentecost. Hallelujah. It's our turn to take up the mantle. It's our turn to take up that calling.
Word. teardrops falling. Remind me of my calling. May I never run from the call. And I was just a child. I knew all the while there was a work that God had called me to do. Now I can't count the miles. Sometimes I get tired, but after all you've done, it's the least that I can do. So remind me, Lord, you called me. Though sometimes I may get weary, but if one soul be saved, it's worth it all. When I see the teardrops falling, remind me of my calling. May I never run from the call. My name may never be in bright lights marquee. This world may not applaud the things I do. Oh, but if I can be a light to some soul in the night, then Lord, that's all that I desire to do. Oh, but remind me, Lord, you called me. Though sometimes I may get weary, but if one soul be saved, it's worth it all. When I see the teardrops falling, remind me of my calling. May I never run from the call. Oh, remind me, Lord, you called me. Though sometimes I may get weary, but if one soul be saved, it's worth it all. When I see the teardrops falling, remind me of my calling. May I never run from the call.
Thank you.
decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I won't turn back. I won't turn back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. 'Cause I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And though none go with me, still I will follow. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back.
Some groups though that are going to need to get out of here, get home. We want to say thank you again to everyone who's been here, and you've made this weekend great. And we appreciate Brother and Sister Snow, amen, the word that we heard last night and this morning. And I tell you, young people, I thought about what the psalmist said. He said it'd be better to be one day in the house of the Lord than 1,000 days elsewhere. And I'll just be honest with you, it'll be better to be in the house of the Lord every day than one day elsewhere. Amen. Amen. That, we don't need any time out in the world. And thank you, Brother Snow, for what we've heard this weekend, and we really appreciate it. And if you're in the area, we're going to be having service, be at your home church tomorrow. But if you've got opportunity on Monday or Tuesday, come on out and be with us in revival at 7:30. And we don't want you to not go to your home church, but if you have an opportunity during the week, come see us, and we'd love to have you. And also, want to make a note to just Union Roadies. I need you to stay in the tabernacle for just 1 second. I need to have a quick meeting with all of our youth members before we dismiss this morning. Also, has anyone found a set of keys that would have a car unlock on the key ring? If you have happened to found those, let me know, because I need to go home today sometime. So, but anyway, amen. If you haven't, that's all right. I understand. But all right. Well, why don't we just bow our heads this morning and just dismiss in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the opportunity that you give us that we can know you. God, I'm so thankful for what we've heard this weekend. God, the word has been revealed to our hearts. God, that we must be born again, set apart. God, filled with your Spirit so that we can make a difference in this world for the kingdom of God. I pray that you would bless every person that is here this morning. God, that as we leave our separate ways, that the fire of revival would begin to burn in our hearts, that we would have a burden for lost souls, and that we would impact our schools, our family, our friends with your love, Jesus. God, I pray for every one of us, God, that we would know you more every day, God. Hallelujah. Be with them as they travel. Keep your hand of protection upon them, Lord. We praise you. Amen. Amen. You can be dismissed. Men, please, if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and head back to the Brock building. Brother Brad is going to lead that up. Hey, listen, men, whatever Brother Brad asks you to do, do it. Amen. And ladies, if you could go ahead and get that area cleaned up. I do need Union Road to just stay in here for a quick second. Everyone else, though, can be dismissed. God bless you all.